Yeah, we're good. We're all good. I'm going to ask Chris to come, and we're going to have a conversation not about a miracle, but a series of miracles that took place with Chris's life. Chris, would you come?
I feel more comfortable back here. This is my baby blanket, y'all. That's true.
Yeah, cool side here.
Cool side here.
Chris has got his guitar with him. We're going to talk, probably we'll cross that at some point, because the reason he has it with him is one of the reports that we were receiving and that they were getting was that Chris would probably never play that guitar again. I thought he sounded pretty good this morning. You know what I mean? And I've never heard him sing, and he sang. What do you know? Yeah. So miracles keep happening here.
Right.
So, Chris, I want you to share with us about what was it like when you woke up after 17 days and it was like you were lost in a way. Would you talk to us about that and what you experienced?
Yeah, so I was under, I was intubated for 16 days, and on the 17th day I woke up actually by a miracle of the day before was the day that it iced, and they were actually supposed to put a trach in me in a feeding tube, and because it iced, there wasn't enough staff in the hospital to actually do it. So I praise God for ice in Texas this one time, because the year before it was horrible, but because there wasn't enough staff, they didn't have to do any of that, and the next day I woke up on my own, they took the tube out, and I woke up. I'm still like, okay. So that's what it started out as when I went in. And then the next picture, that's where I ended up. That was me while I was under. Like I said, for 16 days, I dreamt and had no recollection where I was. Don't even remember going to the hospital. And then when I woke up, they started putting me in this chair. I actually thought I was in another country. I thought some strange things about my father-in-law, and that one of my dreams was I was on the moon, because that's where I could be healed of COVID, was in zero gravity, and my father-in-law was the one that sent me up there. But my dad happened to be there when first time I remember waking up. Letitia came a couple days before I remember, but she had two masks, gloves, Garmin, the face shield. I thought she looked like Marty McFly from Back to the Future when he's talking to his dad, saying he's Darth Vader. That's what she looked like in a radiation suit. So I didn't recognize her. But my dad was one of the first people I recognized, and he told me I'd been under for 16 days and where I was. Because, like I said, I thought I was in another country. I thought I'd been out for years. I had heard rumor of somebody trying to hire someone to pretend she was my daughter. So it would act like it was 10 years later. Don't hide, Daniel. That's the love I have from Daniel. I love that man.
You're talking about my son?
Your son.
Oh, okay. Right.
Your son, Daniel. That was his idea. Hire somebody to pretend she was Shayna 10 years from now, thinking I'd been in a coma for 10 years. But after I woke up, I couldn't talk. They had given me the type of, or along with anesthesia, the other type that makes your muscles not move. Because even while I was under, I was fighting the nurses and the doctors trying to heal me. That was the whole reason they put me under in the first place, is I wouldn't, my anxiety was so high, I wouldn't let them touch me. So they told Letitia, we have to put him out, otherwise he's going to die. And she's, we'll put him out. Okay. So she came over and, you know. But so when I woke up, I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. If I did talk, like that. It took me about a day to really figure out where my surroundings were. I saw nurses and doctors come in, and they weren't really talking to me. They were talking to Letitia or Dad or between themselves, and I caught bits and pieces as I was in and out of sleep. And then I realized what had really happened and tried to start piecing things together. And to this day, that was January 17th when Letitia took me to the hospital. I don't remember the 17th, 18th, Well, I don't remember January 17th through February 4th when I woke up. Even when though I was awake for those 3 days before they put me under, I don't remember it at all. So maybe praise God for the mind block that it's in that I have. But I was scared to death.
When you woke up?
When I woke up. One, because I didn't know where I was. Two, I looked down and I couldn't move. Three, I looked down and I had stuff everywhere. And I can't remember if this is part of the next question or not, but this chair right here, I wanted to make sure that you guys saw this. I was awake for this. They had a big hoist that would take you out of the bed and put me in this chair to kind of get me up and moving a little. And at one point, I had fallen asleep, and I slumped over like this. My IVs were over my neck. They were wrapped around my arm, and I could not get up. And I just laid there, or like that, and I said, okay, God.
Now, is this the moment that you felt you had a heart change? This is
No. This is before my heart changed.
Just before that.
This is before that, yeah. This was the point where I told God, okay, I give up. They're saying I might never do this again. I might never do this. What is this going to do to my wife, my daughters, my family? I don't know if I can, selfishly, I don't know if I can deal with this. So God, take me home. I'm done. And I just slumped like that. I had given up, and I've never gotten to that point in my life of this, I quit. I'm not even going to try. And then I heard Letitia on the phone. The nurse had her on speakerphone on my phone. And I hear, Christopher, you better get up. Sit up out of that chair. And in my mind, I couldn't vote. In my mind, I said, no, I am not. I'm going to die. I want to die. I want to go home. I don't want to deal with this. And then I hear my nurse, Mr. Baker, you better sit up. I was like, oh, crap, I'm scared. Okay. So I sat up. And I said, okay, I'll keep going. My God is bigger than anything that I can ever imagine. And he can do things that no one else can. Medicine can do so much, but if God's not in there, and if God's not the center of it, medicine's only worth so much.
Yeah. So you went through this, and then you've been speaking of this heart change that took place.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that moment when there was a shift.
Okay. There was a, when they moved me from, oh, there's Letitia. When they moved me from ICU at Texas Health in Mansfield, the new one that's open down off of 287, I went to a hospital, Kindred Southwest, that's over there off of Brian Irvin. And the first week I was there, my hands were still out. I still couldn't move my legs. My legs, feet, hands were all numb. So they had to feed me 3 meals a day. It was a liquid diet. Even water had to have a thickener in it. So it was like cold, but it was like warm jello, but cold. So it had that real loose feel to it, and I hated it so much. I hated being fed. All the stuff is yogurt. I love yogurt now, by the way. I hated it before I got sick. It's one of my favorite foods now. That lasted for about a week where they had to feed me. And then I had a speech therapist come in, and they said, all right, we're going to see if you can eat solid foods. Here, eat this pudding. And so she fed me some pudding. And she's all right, eat this graham cracker. I eat a graham cracker. All right, now I'm going to put them both together and eat it. Okay. She's all right, you can start eating solid foods tomorrow. I said, okay. So when lunch came in, it was more yogurt and stuff. And the nurse sat down to feed me. And I said, give me the spoon. I'm going to do this myself. And so I grabbed the spoon, and it was, you know, like this. But I fed myself, and I said, I'm not going to stay here anymore. I'm going to go home. That was my heart change. And what had happened is the night before, when I went into the hospital with COVID, not only did I have COVID, I ended up with COVID pneumonia. I ended up with a pneumonia called MRSA pneumonia, which is a type of staph infection that, due to the tube in my lungs, it developed on top of the COVID pneumonia, and it's actually more contagious than COVID was, which was the whole reason for the trach. But sorry, I had a brain. I'm dealing with brain fog right now. So when I went into the hospital, I was carrying so much stress. I had anxiety attacks all the time, to the point where Letitia could not calm me down. Pastor couldn't calm me down. She had to call my dad. And 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, Dad would come over to the house and we'd sit and watch a movie to get me to calm down. All this stress from all these things that were going on the past couple years in our lives between Letitia and I and the girls. And that night before I started feeding myself, I was just laying in bed wanting to go home. And I said, God, there's a reason why I'm still here. You could have taken me when I begged you to, and you told me no. And I think that was God telling me no when the nurse told me to sit up. Because she had a voice that was not hers when she told me to sit up. And so I just laid all of this stuff at God's feet. And I said, God, I can't deal with this stuff anymore. Between this and that and that and worrying about this and worrying about this that I can't do anything about. I said, God, I just, here, take this from me, because I'm tired of carrying this stuff on my back. It is weighing my soul down, and it's weighing my life down to where I have no quality of life. I can't do this anymore. Only you can take this from me. And I passed out, fell asleep. And when I woke up, it was, oh, okay. I was still where I could hardly move. But at that time, I said, you know what? That's when I had the thought, I'm going to go home. I'm not going to be here anymore. Give me the spoon. And from then on, I fed myself. I had to hold the drinks, the little cups with, you know, two hands. And Letitia would come, and she'd have to wipe the drool off my face, and or the orange juice that would roll down my chin, all that stuff. But my heart was determined to go home. And all of this weight that I had when I woke up that next morning, even though I couldn't hardly move, was gone in my mind. And I just had this. And with that, I started breathing on my own. They took the oxygen off of me. From that point on, I didn't even have the O2 in my nose during the day. I was on room air, is what they called it. I had a mask at night because of my sleep apnea. But other than that, I was breathing on my own. My oxygen was like 98%, 99%. And I believe it was because there was so much stuff squishing me that when God took it away, I could breathe and just feel like I haven't felt in years. I feel better now than I did before I got sick. Yeah. I'm on half the medication I was before I got sick. Yeah. I sleep 8 hours a night before I got sick. It was two maybe. Wow. So that change of heart, just 180 degree difference in my entire life, because I trusted God and I said, I need you to do this for me.
You just said the key word there. I'm going to pause for a moment. And just, if you're sitting out there right now, you just heard a revelation word for yourself. The power of letting go. Do you want to breathe again?
Yes.
Spiritually, emotionally, physically? Let it go. Quit hanging on to stuff. Let it go. And you said the key word. It's trust. Mm-hmm. You have to trust God. We're always trying to fix stuff. I know. I'm the only one who tries to do that. None of y'all ever try to do that.
No. Not at all.
You got to quit fixing stuff and let Him fix it, because He'll fix it properly. He'll fix it where it needs to start first. That's with us. And then it just penetrates everything else. So let go.
Absolutely.
Right now, I'm just going to ask everybody, just bow your head for a moment. Man, the Holy Spirit's moving up here. That what He just said is so powerful. right now, I'm going to ask you to have the courage. It took courage what Chris did, because he wanted to go home. He's ready to give up. It took courage to say, Father, I can't do this, so I'm just going to trust you with it all, every bit of it. He's not talking about one thing. He's talking about almost a life of this, a lifestyle of this. So, Father, right now, I thank you. You're moving. The Holy Spirit's moving right now. This is the moment.
Thank you, Jesus.
So just tell the Father right now, I'm going to trust you by faith.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Just release it to him right now. Just say, in Jesus' name, I give this to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And just as an act of your faith, just take a deep breath right now and just say, man, that's done. I'm going to breathe and I'm going to be free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Chris, you went from this experience, this moment, and then you went to PT.
I did.
And more stuff started happening. More miracles started taking place. Tell us about once you were moved to PT, what started happening. First, tell everybody what PT is. You know, so.
Physical therapy. I was actually at a rehabilitation hospital for mainly for like stroke patients that you know, that they lose mobility and in you know, whatever extremity or whatever. They had, they actually had a little one of those little smart cars that you had to be able to get in and out of, and they had a full kitchen for people that their day-to-day life is picking things up and putting things in the oven, putting laundry away, folding clothes, all of that different types of stuff, and then the walking parts just on top of that. At first we were going to say what happened when I got out of rehab, or while I was in rehab. Wrong kind of rehab. physical rehab. So they wheeled me in there on a stretcher, one, because, you know, the ambulance kind of has to. The guys that were in the ambulance, that they were amazing. They were super fun characters. They wheeled me into my room on a Wednesday, and first thing I noticed was the TV was really, really small. Because at ICU,
it was a normal TV?
No,
like,
no.
Like we grew up with?
Like we grew up with, yeah.
Okay.
In ICU, where I was out and wasn't watching TV, it was like a 72-inch flat screen. It had this ginormous iPad to control it. When I went to the second hospital, it was like a 40-inch TV with a regular remote. And then I got to rehab where I could walk around, or I, you know, they expected me to get up and walk and do stuff, and it was like this little 20-inch little thing that got four channels. DIY Network and Cooking Channel were the two I watched the most. But they wheeled me in there, and they had to physically move me over to the bed on one of the big gurney-type things. And they said, okay, we'll see you tomorrow. You start your therapy tomorrow. It was 3 one-hour sessions, 5 days a week. So I got there on a Wednesday. I had therapy Thursday, Friday, no therapy on Saturday, therapy on Sunday, and I actually missed church streaming, because at this hospital, I actually had really good Wi-Fi. At the second hospital, it was nothing, so I couldn't watch our live streams. But at this last one, I was able to, and I was so upset that at 10 o'clock, I had a session. I said, can I please move it to like 1? No, you have a session at 1. I went, okay. So 3 one-hour sessions, 5 days a week, 15 hours a week in therapy. So that next day, that Wednesday when I got there, Letitia wasn't able to come see me. It was one of those days that she was back at work by then, which she works from home, and we homeschool Shayna, so they were doing all of that. And mind you, this whole time Letitia was able to come and see me every day, Shayna only saw me through a FaceTime. She was not allowed at any of the hospitals until I got to my rehab hospital. And so that next day, Thursday, after my therapy sessions, I get this picture. And the text says, guess who's on her way to see her daddy? And I said, cool. All right, man, I'm so glad. I'm glad she's coming. By that time, I had stood on with a walker with the nurse helping me up, and I was able to walk into the bathroom and do business on my own. Then they would sit me in the wheelchair, and I could wheel myself out of the bathroom and wheel myself next to the bed. And that's where I would kind of sit throughout the day, because I was tired of laying in a bed. Even the adjustable ones where you could sit up, I was tired of laying in the bed. I almost wanted to just sit in a chair and have my butt go to sleep. I mean, I was that tired of sleeping in a bed. So then they get here, and then Tisha gets this. Shayna's at the age, she's almost 13, where I don't want to be hugged a lot, and I didn't let her go. She was screaming and or squirming to try and get away. I was like, I'm not letting go. But that's me in the, well, that's me in my wheelchair that I pretty much lived in, which I loved, by the way, compared to that bed. But I was able to stand up. I was able to walk around with a walker. They had me walk like a mile every day on my stuff. I sent this video to Pastor. And that's what I think gave Pastor hope of, like, okay, he's coming home. He's coming home soon. I apologize for that video now that I'm seeing it up on the big screen. But while I was there, they said, you'll be here anywhere from 10 days, 14 days, 3 weeks, something like that, however long it takes for you to be able to do certain things on your own. And every day, I got stronger. I was able to do the exercises more because they would do like 25 each side, weights and feet stuff, and I was only able to do about half of them when I started, and by the end I was doing them all. I was able to stand up and walk without losing my breath, and when I was having trouble breathing, they gave me exercises to just calm myself and just kind of that center yourself, namaste kind of thing. And I haven't had an asthma attack since. I've lived with asthma my entire life.
And praise God.
Learning those techniques, I have that. Hope knows what I'm talking about. I got that. Got like 17 inhalers. They used to last like a week and a half, and they're supposed to last a month. Now they last 3 months, kind of thing. If I even need them, the way I'm doing stuff, I'm able to walk more and do more. And so, after a few days, our insurance rep or the hospital rep for us came in and said, well, they're talking about letting you go on Tuesday, so less than a week. And we said, okay, well, we're not going to get our hopes up. And Tuesday came and went, and they came in on Thursday, said, okay, your doctors talked to us, we're going to let you go home on Monday. So it had been 14 days. Well, I was going to have therapy that rest of that day on Thursday and those 3 hours on Friday, which would have made my 15 hours for the week, so there was not going to be any therapy on Saturday or Sunday. So we asked the rep, we said, well, other than me getting 6 free meals out of you, what's the point of me staying here? I'd rather take those extra 2 days at home. And Letitia and I sat and we prayed about it. I'm like, maybe we can go home on Friday. About an hour later, the rep came back in. Okay, you're going home tomorrow, which would be my 10th day. And I didn't even have the therapy for those 3 hours on that 10th day. Letitia was able to come. The nurse came and packed me up. And I think I have a little clip of me walking out of the center with a cane. Not even a walker, just a cane. And 43 pounds lighter, believe it or not. I did the wrong kind of Atkins diet, but but every day I saw God's miracle more and more and more, and just more things started falling into place as like, okay, Christopher, you trusted me, and now I'm going to move this stuff out of your way. Yeah. And stand up. Okay, now walk. I'm going to push you. Okay. I might have fallen once, and I blame that on God pushing me. But just every day, more strength came back to me. My mind cleared where when I went from one hospital to another, they always checked, okay, do you know what day it is? It's February. No, it's actually March. Oh, okay. What day? I thought it was March, you know, so I wouldn't know what day it was. And by the time I was leaving, I knew what day it was. I mean, like at the other hospital, I didn't even know when Letitia showed up with a little sloth for Valentine's Day. I'm like, it's Valentine's Day? Man, okay. I hope I got her something. but just every day was just a miracle upon a miracle of COVID not coming back, MRSA pneumonia not coming back. I had a collapsed lung from a fall that I caused myself. I had fluid on my lungs to begin with the pneumonia. And when I went from ICU to the second hospital, I had the dumb idea that I could stand up and go to the bathroom because there was a bathroom in my room. So I couldn't get the safety arms down or safety rails down on the bed. So I crawled over them and stood up for 0.2 seconds before I landed flat on my butt and caused my right lung to collapse. Not all the way, partial collapse. So they had to put a chest tube in. And the doctor said that was a miracle to be me to be able to take that out as quickly as they did as well. But to go from that hospital to the rehabilitation hospital and that not come back, and my lungs actually being stronger than they were before COVID, even with having had a punctured or a collapsed lung, just miracle upon miracle.
Am I remembering correctly, one of the reports you received later when they checked, it was as though you had never had COVID or any of the...
Correct, yeah.
It's like your lungs were just... There was no damage, no nothing.
Absolutely.
It was absolutely
no scarring, no...
Nothing.
No nothing.
And you give God praise for that. Yeah.
Yeah. No nothing. Amen.
I want to make a point here. When I saw this video, and the walker, I kind of discounted it, but when he came out of the... When I saw this video, I mentioned this to you the first time I got to see you face-to-face. Mm-hmm. Chris has always walked over, always. And yeah. I noticed immediately he was standing straight up, and he has stood straight up ever since.
Yes, sir.
And he couldn't stand up here, and he can stand now. Can you give God praise for that? Yeah. Amen. That was one of the first things I noticed. I said, man, I see a physical testimony here. If people had not noticed how slumped over the way you walked, and now you walk straight up.
Yes, sir.
That's a miracle.
Amen.
From God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Total miracle. So you had all these different. You had all of these miracles. Mm-hmm. You've now left the hospital. You're continuing to heal rapidly.
Yes, sir.
Way faster than they thought you would. Getting your strength way faster than they thought. Mm-hmm. And then you finally get to come to church.
I do.
Tell us about your experience the first Sunday back at North Elevation Church.
We actually, at first, we hadn't even planned on coming because it had been. I'd only been home a week. So I got home on March the 4th, and we stayed home that next week. The week after is the week that we came, and that was the week that Rory and Flora came. And I told Letitia, I said, I've got to be there that Sunday. She's like, why is this Sunday so important? I said, because Rory and Flora are going to be there, and by word of mouth from you to Mom and Dad to Letitia, the whole Zona Maya community had been praying for me because you had told Rory, and they immediately got on their knees and just prayed daily for me, which come to find out, I didn't mean to have a following there, but apparently I do. Yeah. I have a guitar. I have a musician following where they keep checking out my guitars. So they knew that they noticed I wasn't there. And like I said, I was just told that the whole Zona Maya, is praying for you. And also to come to find out there were people in other countries that I'd never been to that were praying for me that I didn't even know that, you know, it was just by word of mouth going around from Christian to Christian and all of that. So I said, I've got to come this Sunday. I've got to thank those two in person to show them that I've walked in, I'm standing, and the miracle that God did with the help of their prayer. God could have still healed me, but I think my rapid healing was through prayer. I mean, God could have done, okay, get up, but I think it was a waiting period, like our song that we sang this morning. It's in the waiting where, yes, God could just burp, and you're done, and you're up and walking, you know. But he needed to show me this whole thing. He got me to my lowest point I've ever been. And I know that's cliche and people say, well, you know, God got to me lowest point before I realized anything. Well, it's true. to the point I couldn't breathe on my own. I couldn't walk. I couldn't stand. I couldn't feed myself. Couldn't do other things myself. That's low, and it's embarrassing. Colin knows what I'm talking about on this. It's embarrassing to not being a big guy and not being able to do anything on your own and having a little tiny nurse come in and do all this stuff for you. But he had to knock me down that low to say, you need to stop and rest, and you need to give me everything. And so I did, and that and it went all that way. So that first Sunday I came back, we sat in our normal spot over there, and I stood for the worship, 3 out of 4, because the fourth song I was bawling, harder than I've bawled in a long time in a church for when it comes to worship, because playing for so long and being in a worship team and for so long, sometimes you get burnt out with it. And I had kind of reached the point, I'm like, man, these songs don't have the meaning that they used to. I'm being honest with you, mm-hmm. Pastor. I'm being honest with you, church. The songs that we were singing, I was, man, we're doing this song again. Okay, we'll just get through it. So I stood over there with Letitia, and I held her hand, and we were singing these songs. And I noticed that they were a little different. There wasn't the super fast up-tempo or an up-tempo song at all throughout the whole set. Forgive me, Colin, I asked Letitia to screenshot this. I wanted everyone that wasn't here to hear what Colin says.
I've been spending all Thursday evening just working on Easter. And then we, at the end of the night, we choose the 4 songs for Sunday. We get up here a little bit early. We practice those songs. And Thursday night, we sat down and we started going through our list, and we kept trying to find songs that we could do without our leader. Because for most of you know, our worship leader, Chris, has been in the hospital for what seems like an eternity. And then we picked these 4 songs. And I kid you not, it's the group of us. We're sitting here. We're scrolling through songs. We say, well, let's do this one. Let's do this one. Let's just put it in this order. It was probably maybe 5 minutes. And we got out the door. It was late. And we left. And you're all sitting there wondering, what does this have to do with anything? I want you to look at the order of what happened here. And I want you to relay this, the fact that our worship leader is sitting here in church this morning.
Mind you, I was bawling, and I couldn't hear what Colin was saying.
Here's our song list. Overcome, Miracles, I Love Your Presence, It Is Well. There was a moment in time where Chris was in the hospital, and he had to overcome. And a miracle happened.
Amen. Amen.
And through that miracle, God's presence sat upon Chris, and Chris will tell you over and over and over, he is something different than what he was when he went into this hospital. And we ended with It As Well, because even in what looked like the enemy was trying to destroy, God used for his glory. It is well.
I had to put that in there because I couldn't say it any better than that. God works in such mysterious ways. It's happened several times since coming home and coming back up here, where picking songs for the week, I would just sit and pray over the song, our song catalog, and pick songs. And then after worship, I'd sit down, and someone would say, man, those songs were just right in line with my message, or right in line with what the scriptures today, or anything like that. And so I sat over here, and I bawled, and it was confirmation to me of, Christopher, this was me doing all of this. I know, God. Okay, but do you really get this? Here is the final piece of, I've brought you through all of this, and you're welcome, you know, kind of thing. But it was just coming back, and we still had to do the kind of, stay away, but just being here and hearing the song selection, those songs, even though we've done them, you know, I'm not going to say 100 times because I don't know if that's true, but it just had a flip for me, and worship worship took on a whole new, like, fresh meaning, fresh eyes every Sunday, of just being excited to be up and playing again, because I could have not played at all. Letitia actually brought my guitar to therapy for me to get my fingers back, because my hands were like this, and so I thought, well, I could play really fast, and, you know, and that'd be good, but then I couldn't do anything over here, so it'd be all jazz chords and all, you know, all messy. So just having this in my hand brought on a whole new of holding it. It brought on a whole new meaning of just being able to hold this and play and be able to play again. And even if I'm not as coordinated as I was, but getting back to, you know, remembering every day on it and just working through it.
Like the song, coming back.
Yeah.
To really the honor of worship.
Absolutely.
And just being glad that I can praise him and worship him and play for him again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just a refreshing, a renewing of that reality of it being, this is where it's at.
Yep. And I catch myself with my eyes closed a lot more now.
Yeah.
And I want to stop playing in the middle of something and just sit there and worship or stand there and worship. And I can't, you know.
Right.
But this is my worship as well.
Right.
But the worship has taken a whole new of, I wish I could just worship and praise and just soak it in, like, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
with the 2 minutes, we're running out of time.
Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry.
No, this is good. Anybody been blessed this morning? Yeah. With the 2 minutes we have left, in 2 minutes, what would you want to tell everybody that you want to leave them with before they go today?
Okay. You had me think about this. Yeah. So this is the one question you had me think about. If you guys are struggling like I was, and on a daily basis that struggle peers its stupid, evil, ugly head around a corner, an email, a text message that might pop up, a phone call that might come about, the devil is trying everything in his power to make you lose. And even if it's just something small that grows and grows and festers, and then it gets into your home, and then something happens and it gets into your family, and then your family has something happen, and that filters to your church, and it filters to this, and it filters to that. He's doing everything in his power, and he's starting so small with just something so simple, but it can get to something huge. God is not too big to handle something this small. Even if it's something that you don't even think, it's just an annoyance, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it festers, and it gets to be a huge mountain. God can still move that mountain, but he can move that rock and that pebble and that grain of sand and the mustard seed and you know, down to the finite thing. He is not too big for any problem that you have, any stress that you have, any relationship that's gone astray that you wish was different, any burden that you are carrying in your heart, in your carrying it in your bag. God is not too big for you. He loves you with all of his heart. He has named you. He has made you special than anyone else in this room, anyone else in this world, for a specific mission and plan that he has for your life. And if you're not listening for him and going with his direction, and you're fighting him, and you might even not know you're fighting him, but if your gut's telling you this is not really the right thing, he's probably talking to you very, very quiet. And if you're not listening and you have so much going on in your life, like I did, that's just putting mufflers on your spiritual ears, I pray for you guys daily. I pray for this church every day in my daily prayers. I pray for the hospital staff that was there, the nurses, everything, that they would have a quiet moment every day to where they could hear the voice of God, to where they would hear, "You're my child, I love you. Give this to me and let me deal with it for you, because I'll take care of you. You might not see it, but I'm going to take care of you, and you might see it later on down the road." So God loves you guys so much. And all he wants for you is to love him and to praise him and to just give him your all and not be burdened by the things of this world that the devil throws at us. That he just, you just embrace him when there's nothing else you can do, that you just stop and embrace God. And he will grab onto you and just hold you and carry you if he has to.
Sorry.
So I leave you guys with that, that God loves you guys so much. He loves to hear y'all sing, even if it's off key. He loves even 30 seconds that you stop and spend time with him, whether that's listening on the Bible app or a quick verse that's on a wall or whatever, and you just read it. He just wants time with you guys. So I pray that we can all find time to do it, and that we will just bask in his love, his glory, his miracles that we might not even see, or that are boom in front of your face. Amen. That are like right here. And that when you see those, you recognize that that was God. Amen. And you give him the praise and the glory for it.
Amen. Pastor Rachel, would you come and share what the Lord has put on your heart and close the service? Chris, thank you for having this conversation today.
Thank you. Thank you all.